Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 31. I'm back. For those of you who've wondered where I've been, the last podcast, which I recorded 2 weeks ago, I used up all my Podbean bandwidth. I was suspicious when I got the email from Podbean because I really didn't feel like I had used up my full allotment of 120 minutes, but as it turns out, I did. And so they said, that's that for this month, unless you upgrade. And I didn't want to upgrade because usually I am within my bandwidth limits. And so why? So this one time I went over, no, I'm not going to upgrade. What they did though that made me mad was that they made all my prior podcasts inaccessible to the public, which meant that if you tried to get my last episode off of iTunes, you couldn't. If you went to my website, offkilterquilt.podbean.com, they wouldn't let you download it or listen to it or anything. And that makes me mad. I've paid for those, and I think that you should be able to listen to them whenever you want, whether or not I've used up my month's worth of bandwidth. And I did actually email a somewhat snitty, albeit polite. I did the Southern thing. I was very, very polite, and at the same time suggested that I was not entirely happy with the fact that they were holding my episodes hostage, and would my episodes be released on February 1st, or would they be demanding a ransom payment in order for them to be back and available? As it turns out, they should be all available again at the beginning of this month. Now, it's January 30th, so I won't be able to post this for a couple days. So you can, anyway, I don't know why I'm explaining this. It's January 30th, in case you're wondering. It's Sunday afternoon, and I have spent the last 2 hours basting. Simply Amy, Simply Frances, that right? That is right. We are at the basting stage. Now, I thought I would be here sooner, except for the fact that not this past week, but the week before, right after I posted my last episode, I got sick. Everybody got sick. Will, my 8-year-old, brought it into the house because he's always the one who brings it into the house. He gets it for like 5 minutes and everyone else is like knocked down, little ducks in a row, blah. And so we all, over the course of the week, one person after another got sick, except the man, of course, wouldn't cop to it because he doesn't cop to ever getting sick. He just goes on glassy-eyed, brow-burning into the world. But I got sick, and I really accomplished nothing. I didn't write. I didn't quilt. I did, you know, I did a minor amount of knitting, but I really just felt terrible. So, but then about a week ago, I started feeling better and went back to work on Simply Amy, Simply Frances, and my goal was to have it done by yesterday morning because I was taking Jack into Chapel Hill, so it would be a perfect time to stop by Thimble Pleasures after I dropped Jack off, and that's what I did, and I got the backing fabric, and it is fabulous. I will try to take a picture of it and put it on the blog. Again, the blog is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. No www. I have to remind myself. I've been doing this almost a year. Still haven't got that straight. And I will try to post a picture because it's very pretty. It's very pretty. I have no idea what kind it is. I realized that last night. I was like, you know what? I don't know who made this. I don't know the name of it. I know nothing about it except that I thought it was really pretty. And other people in the store said, oh yeah, how nice. It really is. It's nice. It's going to be a nice underside for this quilt. And I did. I just spent 2 hours basting. Man, you know, here's the thing about queen size quilts. They're really big. They're humongous. This is 87 by 86. Okay, I have to tell you this. This just amazes me. So, you know, way back in the day, way last summer, when I decided to make this quilt, and I had to enlarge the pattern. I had to do the math because the pattern in the McCall's was, you know, a twin size quilt or maybe even a lap quilt. I don't know. Probably twin, but it wasn't as big as I needed it to be. And so I sat down and did the math, which is always, you know, risky business, because I don't have a math brain. Well, as it turns out, A, the quilt came out exactly as I figured it would, which is just crazy. You know, it came out, it fits the bed perfectly, it fits over the bedspread that's on there now. It just covers it. It came out to the dimensions I had come up with myself. I can't believe that. That's amazing to me. Here's the other thing I've got to tell you. So I've been saying all along as I've worked on this quilt, oh, I got like a football field's worth of white fabric. And it's I'm just going to have so much left over. I just over-ordered that white fabric. I can't believe it. It's ridiculous. You know how much white fabric I have left over? Like a yard. A yard. So I got the white fabric right. I mean, I really got a lot of white fabric. I can't, I have to go look in my notebook to see what the yardage was that I ordered, but many, 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 many yards, and I ordered the right amount, which is almost disappointing. Just so I've been thinking, well, who cares if you over-ordered, you know, because you can always use it, and, I, you know, I have all kinds of plans for it, and then I realized that I really didn't have much left over. I was like, dang, now I'll have to go buy new white fabric for the next quilt. So, but I'm very proud of myself. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I just couldn't believe when I realized I was coming down to the end of the white fabric. I'm like, wow, I did the math right. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. So, yes. So, mathematically, this quilt has turned out. Here's where, for me personally, as a crafter, where quilting may have the edge over knitting, because my last, once I've learned how to use the rulers, once I took quilt school one and learned how to cut fabric and how to use rulers, I've had very good success with the dimensions of my quilts. I mean, I've just done two quilts since, well, I did the quilt in class. I did another one for my friend Catherine's baby, Abigail, but I had cut out the pieces for that quilt before I took quilt school one. So it came out pretty wonky, and it doesn't count. But my other one, but the three I've done, the one in class, and then the Girly Girl Reading Quilt, and now Simply Amy, Simply Frances, have come out to spec. Knitting, my knitting success, the success rate is not as high, I have to say. There are just times with knitting where you can do everything right, you can do gauge, you can be checking, and still when you put the sweater together, it's too big or it's too small. So I do think maybe for me, quilting has a little bit of edge over knitting with the finished project, which may be what Noni would say. I think that that's been her frustration, is a lot of times the stuff she knits just doesn't come out as per expected. Queen size quilt, big quilt. Basting a queen size quilt. Oh my goodness. You know, when I was at Thimble Pleasures yesterday, Karen was there, my wonderful Karen, and she said, you know, if you want to, you could bring the quilt in, you could baste it here. You know, they've got big tables set up in the classroom. And I was like, well, I've got a good-sized dining room, which I do. It's not a mam or jam or dining room table. But it's I know now it's 72 inches long, and I couldn't tell you. You know, maybe more than 3 feet, like maybe 4 feet, 3.5, 4 feet wide. So it's a good size. But queen-size quilt, big quilt. And it, you know, and you're like putting down the backing. Then you're putting the batting over the backing, and batting is bigger than the backing, and then you have, you know, you're making the sandwich and things keep slipping, and, you know, I didn't have any of those big clips that people use, that, you know, I thought I could just use painter's tape and kind of tape them. Oh, my goodness. No, it just was, I just kind of finally had, I just started at one corner, just started really kind of try and got things as even as I could, and then just kept going round and round and round, and it just took forever. It's finally basted. I think I will probably take a break from quilting for the rest of the day, because I don't know why I say that, but you know, I was supposed to spend all afternoon reading. That was my plan. We had a very chilled out weekend. What did I do yesterday? Well, I prepared the backing, you know, I cut the fabric and sewed it together, and I did some cleaning, And but it's just very, we were very chilled out. Jack went to spend the night with somebody else, and Will had his friend here, and there's hockey on. You know, not much going on. And today, it was going to be very calm. I was just going to get up, get Will's friend home. Everybody's going to church, coming home, and doing some reading. That didn't happen because of the siren song of the quilt. That's right. I wasn't going to spend 2 hours based in a quilt. I had some reading to do. There's all this, you know, reading and just chilling. Going to be just a chilled out afternoon. Maybe take the dog for a walk, but no. The quilt was there. I just had to work on it. I did. It was nuts. And so that's what I've done. It is basted. And now I have to plan my plan of attack for quilting. I should say that, you know, last podcast I said, how am I going to quilt it? You know what it never occurred to me to do was look at the picture of the finished quilt in the magazine. The picture that drew me to the whole Simply Amy, at that time just Simply Amy quilt. And see how they quilted it. They're professionals. There was something about the way that quilt looked that drew my eye to it. Why not go and look again? And I did. And it's kind of... it's pretty much a grid. It's a, you know, that's it. Just kind of a grid. It looks like around the squares themselves that there's some just kind of going around and around and around in straight lines, but doing squares around the squares, kind of echoing the squares. But otherwise, just straight lines across and straight lines up and down. And it looks very cool. And that's what I'm going to do. But I don't know why it didn't occur to me until after I'd gone on and on. But I don't know what to do. Actually, just look at the picture. And then I got an email from Sarah over at Stash Resolution. And she said, have you thought about a grid quilting pattern? I'm like, as a matter of fact. But I've got to tell you, it is going to be a big job. A big job. I mean, the first thing I'm going to do is secure the perimeters. I'm going to go around each block like I did with the Girly Girl reading quilt. That's all, you know, I've got to do that. Each block just everything just needs a good run around and secure everything. I really don't want to mess this up. Man, can you imagine like doing 2/3 of a queen size quilt and then just messing up or realize that you messed up way back in the beginning? It's going to be a big, big job. So first thing, securing everything. Making sure each block is safe in its own little blockness, and then I'll start gridding it. I don't know how long it's going to take. My goal is to have it finished in time to take it to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting next month, which may be in 2 weeks. We'll see. It's just big. It's big. I'm going to have to rearrange my space. I'm working on a drop leaf table. That's where my sewing machine is. And I think I can set it up. So I really have a fair amount of space to work on. But there's just a lot of weight involved. I mean, just trying to get the quilt sandwich put together, you know, and everything would slide. And this is going to be quite a job. I'm halfway through basting. I'm like, long arm? Someone's got to... I seem to have 3 or 4 cards. I met a woman at the Modern Quilt Guild meeting, in fact, who I really liked, who is a long arm quilter. And so all of a sudden you're like, long arm quilter. How much would that cost? But I like sewing. I like doing the line. So I'm gonna give it the good college try, and we will see what happens next. I'm keeping an eye on my time. I'm almost up on 15 minutes. I actually need to go make some biscuits for Sunday dinner. So I'm going to pause here and come back. And I've had a lot of great comments and some good information passed on that I want to share with you. And I want to make sure not to go past 30 minutes because we know what happens when I do over a period of time. More soon. Okay, and welcome to part 2 of the show. Now it is Tuesday, it's February 1st. I actually thought I would rush to have this up and running by February 1st since, yes, my bandwidth is back to a full, or really a negative 100%. That's not possible mathematically, is it? I don't think so. Anyway, we're good to go. You can Go now and access old episodes of the podcast on iTunes. I am a free woman. I am. Well, we need to take care of business. So let's see. First of all, contact information. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fdowell@mindspring.com. You can leave a comment at http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. Yes, I think. I'm actually looking at my site now, so you would think I would know. Here it is. So you can do that, and you can come over to the big tent and get onto the Quiltcast supergroup and join the Off-Kilter Quilt subgroup and leave messages there too. I really do appreciate everyone who's contacted me in the last few weeks. I had lots and lots of great messages, very nice compliments on Simply Amy, Simply Francis. I had posted a picture last time, so thank you for that. I want to thank Jean and Noni. In my last episode, I talked about guerrilla quilting, like wanting to do public quilting, you know, leaving quilts in public places. And Noni's comment was, guerrilla quilting? Isn't that charity quilting? Bang out as many quilts as possible to give social relief? Works for me. You know, that's good. I really need to look into charity quilting, but I have so many, quilts to make for myself. I just don't have time. No, that's, you know, I've been talking about making a quilt for my mother-in-law, and now we just had a friend going to the hospital. I thought, could I whip out a quilt for him? I doubt it, but I think I might try to knit him some socks. Thanks to Corinne, who left a funny comment sort of further discussing her knitting. We've been going back and discussing knitting. She has given up the knitting for now. She wrote, all my attempts were turned into things for the cats. I stuffed the socks and attached some bells and feathers to them for toys. I sewed the dishcloths onto some fleece with batting and made beds for the cats. Yes, my dishcloths were so bad I wouldn't even have them in my kitchen cupboard, hidden out of view, because I knew they were there. So now I am quilting, which I'm happy to say is going much better than my knitting. Corinne, I'm really happy that you have found quilting. And I just think it's really cool that you made some toys for your cats. That was very kind. Thanks to Susan and to Ballard Quilter, who was one of the people who commented about sort of feeling like there's no one else your age doing the stuff you're doing. She is 47 and said she also can't find the 47-year-olds at her quilting events. Yeah, I know. A number of people said that. And some people are like, I'm 36 and I feel that way. I'm 52 and I feel that way. It really, a lot of the quilting stuff seems either geared to much younger women or older women, and those of us stuck in the middle kind of are looking around. Where are we? We're out here, apparently. At least we're listening to podcasts and stuff, but I don't know where we are at the events. Let's see. Thank you to Peg S. and to Janet, to Pam. And Pam, and when I put up my show notes, I'm going to put the link to the quilting suggestion she made, because I asked last time, if you'll recall, about how I should quilt Simply Amy and Simply Francis, and she sent me a link to the Super Spiral quilting from Leah Day, who does the Free Motion blog that I think a lot of us are familiar with. They're Super Spiral and also Spiral Illusion. And Pam, I want to say, I checked those out. They are really, really cool. I'm not sure I feel confident enough yet to do those, but I do think you're right. I do think they would have worked with Simply Amy, Simply Francis, and I will try to remember to link to those in the show notes so you guys can check them out. Robin, who asked, at age 54, would she be one of those older ladies that I spoke of in my last podcast? No, 54. At age 46, almost 47, I'm starting to think of 54 as really pretty dang young. But the funny thing is, she wanted to comment on Candyland. You know, I talked about that, how Candyland was kind of, the newer versions kind of freaked me out. And she said, do you know, I just had to buy my grandson another Candyland game. I wore out the first one. It's true. She wore out the first one. That's great. And yes, those characters are way more creepy than they used to be. See? Affirmation. Thank you, Robin. I got a comment, a lovely comment from Emily Hinkle, who sends thanks for getting the word to Fonz and Porter via mom about their magazine being covered in plastic. I don't buy it either, Emily says, because I can't look inside. Good. I think maybe we just need to start a petition. I mean, my mother has gotten the ball rolling, and maybe if more of us just spoke up and said, enough with the plastic. It's just so environmentally unsound. It bugs me. Shannon. Oh, and I have to link to what Shannon sent me. She wanted to let me know there is a funny little crochet museum where she lives in the Southern California desert. And she sent me the link, and it is a hoot. Yes, there is a crochet. So, you know, last time I was talking about, I think Noni was asking me if there were any knitting museums. And I said, I did not know of one, but now we know of a crochet museum. And he could kind of see why crochet would have its own museum, because it can get kind of kitschy. Anyway, I will do my best to remember to post to that, because it's very funky and cool. Shannon says she felt it was her duty to bring it to my attention, and thank you. I think you have fulfilled your duty, and I appreciate it. Debbie commented, thank you, Debbie. And she, I was talking, not this, I don't think this past episode, but maybe a couple past, about why wasn't there more nonfiction writing about quilting, you know, sort of a essay type pieces. And she pointed out that Helen Kelly, boy, you just want to say Helen Keller, don't you? But Helen Kelly, who has a column in Quilter's Newsletter, which is called Loose Threads, and those essays have been collected into a volume. So that's good to know. I didn't know that, and I haven't actually looked for it on Amazon.com. I need to. I have checked out. Jean let me know there are a couple books that she is aware of and has read. One is called Quilty as Charged, an undercover in a Material World by Spike Gillespie. And apparently Spike goes to Houston, the Houston market. And so this is a book about her experience at Houston. The other book, Quilting Lessons, Notes from the Scrap Bag of a Writer and Quilter by Janet Catherine Burlow. And I will put links to those in the show notes as well. I can tell I'm not going to have this episode up till tomorrow, because I've got a lot of show noting to do. Got a comment from Rhonda also saying she can relate to the being in your 40s and wondering where your quilty people are. Thank you, Rhonda. Again, more affirmation. Heard from Chris, who says that, you know, and I actually don't know if this is, it's Chris, C-H-R-I-S. It could be Christine or it could be Christopher. Not said. I know we're going to assume Christine or Krista or female Chris, and so I will use the she, says that she's a quilter like me who doesn't get hung up on perfection, and that she likes listening to my rambling. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Let's see. And I heard from Katie. So thank you. I got a lot of great comments, and I appreciate everyone taking the time. And there were some new iTunes reviews, so I appreciate the people who went over and did that. Okay, we're 25 minutes and 31 seconds. So since we last spoke, since I recorded the first half of this on Sunday, I have not gotten back to the basting. I think I am in the process of preparing myself for the mammer jammer job that quilting this quilt is going to be. I don't think it ever really occurred to me how big this quilt was going to be. And now that it's all together, do you know, have you ever had that where you do all the blocks and you lay them out, or you put them on your design wall, or you lay them out on your floor, and it doesn't have the sashing. So it seems like kind of a modest size quilt. And then you do the sashing and the borders, and you're just like, wow, this is really big. So I think there's part of me that's like, all right, let's take a deep breath and get ready. I have cleaned my machine. I got new needles. I'm going to go grab the thread I got, just a sec. It's called King Tut Superior Threads, and it's cotton. And I also had to get new needles, no sewing machine needles, number 90s, because it's a little bit heavier. This is what Karen, my dear friend over at Thimble Pleasures, recommended. And I have to say, just in terms of packaging, I really like it. It has little pyramids on it. I like that it's from a company called Superior Threads. But for all my other quilts, that I've quilted, and I have actually quilted all of my quilts, come to think of it. I have used Aurifil, which I've always really liked, but for some reason Karen thought a slightly heavier thread might be preferable with Simply Amy, Simply Frances. So I'm going to give it a try. I'm a little scared because, again, being an Aurifil girl, and this definitely, it looks heavy. It looks heavy. So I'll let you know how that goes. What else to tell you? No real knitting progress. I was worried about the knitting and the fiddling and my arm hurting. And what was interesting is the week I was sick, I wasn't doing any, I didn't fiddle at all, but I knit and my arm hurt. Whereas I think the week before I was sick, I didn't knit, but I fiddled and my arm didn't hurt. So it may be the knitting. And I may need to be really conscientious about knitting right-handed. So no knitting news. As we ease on into springtime, there will be less knitting news. The warmer it gets, the less inspired. But I really hope I will finish the man's sock. And I do want to make a pair of socks for my fiddle teacher and my friend Amy up in Boston. So I need to kind of, it's fine because you know what? Lacrosse starts in March and then there's Little League in the summer. So I will have many knitting opportunities at many long practices. I wanted to tell you really quickly what I'm reading. I just think that would be fun to mention. And if you guys want to post what you're reading over at the Quiltcast Supergroup and the Off-Kilter Quilt subgroup, that would be really cool. I am reading such a good book. It's called The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration by Isabel Wilkerson. It is about African Americans migrating out of the South, starting in the 1920s, and I think it goes all the way through the 70s. And it's just such an interesting story. People just getting out saying, can't do this anymore. I can't deal with the South. We're going. And a lot of folks went to Detroit. A lot of folks went to California, to Southern California. A lot of people went to Chicago. A lot of people went to and Milwaukee, which I didn't know that Milwaukee was a place that African Americans migrated to out of the South. And, of course, New York. And depending on where you lived in the South, that made a lot of difference. So if you were from Louisiana, you were more likely to go to California, etc. It's not all about that, but it's like reading a novel. It follows these three different people out of the South. And I'm just at the place where it kind of goes back and forth in between the stories. And so I'm at this place where they're all verged on getting out of the South and going up North. And it really is like reading a novel. It's so, so good. I just recommend it. And it's one of those things, if you go to Amazon.com, it's like, it's got, you know, like over 100 reviews, and they're all, most of which are 5-star. There are a few 4-star and nothing below that. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. And I've just started a book from my book club called The Sisters Antipodes by Jane Allison. It is a memoir. Here, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of the inside. What is that called? You think as a writer, I would know what this part, when you open up the book and read that the flap copy, the jacket copy. I know this. I sometimes have to write it for myself, which is a drag. Okay, except for that part about getting my books published. See, that's not a drag. I just finished my revision, by the way, of this book I'm working on. Hey, yay! I will have to do another draft. Let me read this to you. When Jane Allison was a 4-year-old child living with her parents in Canberra, Australia in the 1960s, her family met another family that seemed like its mirror. A father in the Foreign Service, a beautiful mother, and 2 little girls, the younger 2, one of them Jane, sharing the same birthday. With so much in common, the families became almost instantly inseparable. Within months, affairs had ignited between the adults. Before long, the pairs had exchanged partners, divorced, remarried, and moved on. So this is one of the daughters. It's her story, and I've just started it, and she's a very, very good writer. And my friend Danielle, who is also in the book club, has finished it, and she says it's fantastic. And Danielle's a very good reader, not just is able to pronounce words correctly, but is a very insightful reader, and we often share similar opinions on books. So just throwing that out at you. If you're reading something, if you got some good books for Christmas and you want to share, please do. I like to hear what people are reading. All right, we are now at 31 minutes. I got to get going, although February is a short month, so maybe maybe I won't get to 100% bandwidth usage and have to go through that particular hell again. Let's hope not. Oh, but there was something else I wanted to tell you before I go, and it's important. There are new podcasts out there. Hip Hip Hooray. There's three that I know of, and there may be more. There's Noni, who comes up all the time, certainly in this podcast, but I think in others as well, because she comments a lot, and she's got this incredible wealth of information about quilting and quilts and all kinds of stuff. She's a great person. If you need to know something about quilting, she is your girl. And now she's got a podcast. It's called Noni's Quilting Dreams. It's up on iTunes. I will link to it in the show notes. And just a lot of fun to listen to. And she's, again, got a lot to say, and she's opinionated, which makes it fun. Susan is now, finally, I know she was talking about this last summer, has at least one episode, last time I checked, I need to check again, of The History Quilter, where she's going to talk about quilts, their history. She is a historian, I think. Well, she's actually, what are you doing, Susan? Are you doing a graduate work in sociology? Anyway, I listened to the first episode, short but sweet, and I can't wait to hear more. The third one I have not listened to, but I know just from comments people have made over at the Quiltcast Supergroup. I've said that about 5 times now. I'm saying it very smoothly. I probably have it wrong, but you know what I'm talking about, at Big Tent. Katie's Quilting Corner. And people have been really enthusiastic and I'm positive about it. So I'm very much looking forward to listening to that. So neat, we've got some new podcast, which is great. Especially because a lot of our longtime quilting podcasters, several of them have not been as active with the podcasts because they are being very, very active with seamedup.com, the new quilty site that's going to be up and running pretty soon. So that's exciting. I think that's it for now. I need to stop. I just need to stop. Have a great week. I will be back next week with, I'm sure, many machine quilting tales of frustration and woe, or maybe glory and victory. I don't know. I wonder how long this is going to take me. Maybe the rest of my life, but I'm hoping just 2 or 3 weeks. We'll see. Okay, have fun making quilts, and be good to yourself, and be really nice to your dog. And if you don't have a dog, well, maybe it's time to get one. Think about that, and I'll talk to you soon.